all my college buddies on the baseball team that I was always going hunting after practice and stuff, and they were wondering what I was doing, and I'd tell them stories about encounters I'd have, and they would just pretty much call my bluff and say I was bullshitting them, or
right.
They just didn't understand why I was so passionate about it. So I was like, well, I'm gonna buy a camera. And I had never been much of a bugle guy. I haven't bugled much, just like spot and stalk elk hunting, and just getting in the herd and being as quiet as I can. And that's how I've always hunted. So that's what we were doing. When we got up there, he was actually fighting another buck for like, ended up fighting for like a minute. And I just told the guy, or I had John get down and got him ready. And I said, as soon as they stop fighting, so I'll let you know when to shoot if he stops and gives you the opportunity. And they're fighting and it's going on. And I look back and John's videoing with his phone. And I was like, dude, you got to get down and get ready, you know? Joe and Gary and Justin Hannah shot his bull and we were taking care of it. And literally right before that, we were going over to where they quartered the elk out and got him out and field dressed him. And Joe said, there's one thing that we don't allow, like with our outfit, is the clients like help out with dressing the animals and taking care of them.
Hey guys, before we get into this next episode, I want to share a couple things with you. First, I am happy to announce the new daysinthewild.com is finally launched. Everything is in one place. My guide services, the podcasts, access to my blogs, etc. So go check it out, daysinthewild.com. If you've been following the show lately, you know that we've partnered with Bushnell and Primos. The awesome thing about that is that if you use promo code STL02, STL02, you will save 15% on anything they sell. Doesn't have to be the stuff that I use. I've been using the Bushnell trail cameras for years. I did a couple of reviews over the years, and Bushnell always came out on top. They're excellent. And I know you've heard me talk about Primo's calls and how good they are, but I've also been using their ground blinds, and they're awesome. I don't know if you remember Double Bull blinds, but that's a Primo's product now, or has been for a while. I also tried out a set of their shooting sticks, and for standing shots, or you know, using for clients when we're predator hunting, or my kids that need it when we're spot and stalk and have to get in close on javelina or anything like that. It's like a really good tool. I love them. They're quick setup and they're steady. Lastly, do yourself a favor and go check out the lineup of shooting bags, glassing pads, and other accessories that Phoenix Shooting Bags puts out. Go to phoenixshootingbags.com, use promo code John Stallone, all one word, and save 20%. Rifle season is upon us, guys. You'll thank me later, I promise. Go check them out. Hey, don't forget to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps me keep bringing you guys content for free. It definitely helps out our ratings and reach more people. So thanks again for taking care of that. Appreciate it. Now let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast. Today we are talking to Cage Golden, and we're just going to share a little campfire session here, a little storytelling, and catch up with him and see maybe how his season went, and hopefully listen to a couple good stories here. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, John. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to talk for you right now, and excited to be on the podcast with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I've been, other than following you on Instagram a little bit, I don't really know a whole lot about you. We were kind of just had a 2-minute conversation before I turned the recorder on here. But typically, I have a rapport with the people that I'm interviewing. You know, so when I say, oh, I have my buddy on, it's usually because he is my buddy. I don't have a rapport with you. I'm excited to, you know, hear something new, or, you know, kind of, this might sound a little fairy-ish, but start a new relationship here. I feel like you got a lot of stuff in line that what I do and what I've done in the past, but, you know, in photography and... I've been a guide, or I am a guide, but yeah. So, why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself? So,
absolutely, yeah.
Get to know you here a little bit better.
Grew up, born and raised in Billings, Montana. Montana boy through and through, and grew up hunting my whole life. First love was really baseball. I played high school baseball, ended up going to college for baseball, and finished that up last year. And I knew right away that I wanted to do something with the hunting industry because I'm so passionate about hunting. And an opportunity arose with the hunting photographer, Zach Vaughton, and Stephen Drake started that class, and they were looking for a beta group, the first 10 guys to do that. And I had a camera, but I had no clue how to use it. And I really didn't know anything about editing pictures or videos or anything. And I really got the camera because all my family's big hunters, but I was always going out by myself, and all my college buddies on the baseball team, I was always going hunting after practice and stuff, and they were wondering what I was doing, and I'd tell them stories about encounters I'd have, and they would just pretty much call my bluff and say I was bullshitting them. Or
right.
they just didn't understand why I was so passionate about it. So I was like, well, I'm gonna buy a camera. And
if there's no picture, then it didn't happen.
Exactly, yeah. So I bought my camera, my first camera, for my good buddy, and that was about a month before that hunting photographer thing came up. So made a video, had to do a video interview for them and send it in, and they picked me.
Nice.
And did that. That was very knowledgeable. That's a great course if anybody that's listening to this is looking to kind of learn the through and through with photography and how to get started. That's a great, great course to go through. So I did that. And then as soon as I finished that, like literally the same week I finished that, Levi Morgan with Bow Life on the Outdoor Channel was looking for a new video guy. So I messaged him, and I was actually doing my internship. I was supposed to be an engineer. I was going to school for mechanical engineering, and my internship was at CHS in Billings. And I was sitting there with a bunch of my buddies, and I was like, gosh, I should really message him about videoing for him, but there's no way he'll message me back, you know, because it's Levi and he's got a big follower fan base, and
right.
I'm sure there are thousands of people messaging him about this job, and they were like, well, what do you got to lose, you know? So I sent him a message, and I got a phone call. Like, it wasn't 10 minutes later, he called me and kind of just chatted about what I knew, and I told him that I really just got done with that class and hadn't had a gig yet.
Right.
But he asked me if I wanted to go to Wyoming, and that was like 2 weeks from when he called me, and I said, absolutely. So it's Wyoming 2 weeks later with him hunting, and that's what I've been doing ever since, really. Just filming for him, and guiding in between. I got a good mix between filming and guiding, and balance it pretty well, but definitely like filming more. And yeah, it's good to get away from filming too and go guide some. And but when I come back to film, I'm motivated to get the best content I can, and it's always fun hanging with Levi, and we always have fun. We go on sweet hunts, go to cool places, and
right,
just so blessed and so thankful for that opportunity with him. And he's such a good guy, and Samantha, and it's just pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know Levi personally. We met at the ATA show years ago. We were introduced by it was when he just had switched over at Elite from Matthews.
Elite to Matthews.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. He went from Matthews to Elite, and then he's back with Matthews. Yeah. So I was hanging out with the guys from Elite just because I was hanging out with them, not because of anything. But and they introduced me to him, and then, which is weird because I have a lot of, at the time, I had a lot of the same sponsors. I mean, him and I were both with Matthews forever. I've been with Matthews since 2001. And Gold Tip and Schwacker. Yeah, and I never, usually when I have that many, like, you know, many things tying us together, I would usually have some kind of relationship, but I never have. And I thought about having him on the show a couple times I want to talk to him. You know, he's super accomplished archer and a hunter.
Yes, sir.
He's a cool guy from the outside looking in. So yeah, I'm definitely going to try to get him on the podcast in the near future.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely. He's fun to talk to, man. He'd be awesome for the podcast.
Nice. Well, anyway, obviously didn't have you on here to talk about Levi. Let's, I do have a quick question. So you did, the online course that Stephen Drake does, or is it?
Okay. They do. He does some in-person stuff. I mean, Stephen and Zach are both, they're just super good guys. And I mean, I could text them anytime I wanted and talk to them and they'd answer any questions, but yeah, they do an online course and, it's very detailed. It just talks about, pretty much learning your camera and everything, like from the basics. Is good for people that are just learning how to do photography and people that are expert photographers, professional, and pretty much how to start your own business and go with it.
Nice. I was considering getting that online course for my dad. He's I would consider him a professional photographer at this point because he's been paid many times to do it. So that's kind of the definition of, but he does tons of wildlife photography and I just kind of wanted him to, he's never really done anything in the hunting scope, but just wildlife, you know, live animals, nothing on the ground. But I just thought maybe hell, that would be a cool gift to give him.
He'd love it, man. He's super knowledgeable.
So
I
didn't know how that the online course was, but
I'm not sure what the price is.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about so much the price, but I just wanted to make sure that's easy enough to follow, you know.
Oh yeah,
whatever.
Absolutely.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super easy to follow. It's super detailed and it's a attention grabber. I mean, you don't lose interest with it.
Well, that's good for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's jump into one of your stories here, man. I'd like to hear.
What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear like a guiding story or like a
whatever, man? Whatever you think is most.
Whatever I think. Okay.
Yeah, a guiding story or your own personal hunting experience. I mean, yeah. I'd love to have you give us one that has, you know, a teaching moment or where you had an aha moment where you learned something about species, you know, whatever, you were elk hunting and you figured something else out or now it changed the way you hunt, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is always great.
Absolutely.
I think it translates nice to people and they can learn from your experiences.
Yeah, I think the first one that comes to mind is my elk hunt from this year. It was me and Levi and we're in Eastern Montana. We had 2 days to elk hunt. I had my 900 elk tag and Levi came to Montana for his mule deer hunt. I filmed his hunt there and he shot his deer on the second day. He had about 5 days to stay before he flew out again. So we were going to go elk hunting and we had 2 days to hunt this place and we'll eat actually an evening and then a whole day. And the first evening we got out there, we didn't see anything and we're pretty discouraged. So we were just like, well, we'll just come back in the morning and see if we can hear any bugles or anything. And just starting off, like the whole rut, I don't know if what everybody else thoughts were on it, but pretty slow in Eastern Montana, Montana in general, and pretty much everywhere we went, every state we went to last year, the rut was pretty off and bulls weren't vocal or anything. And it was just tough hunting.
Yeah, but, we saw that here a little bit in Arizona.
Yeah, so it was September 30th. Bulls should have been going crazy. It should have been a bunch of cows and just wasn't like that. And it wasn't like that the whole month. But so we got back out there in the morning and pretty much drove the whole place and didn't see a single elk, didn't hear a single elk, got out and bugled, glassed a ton and just we weren't finding the elk. So we just thought that maybe they weren't there anymore. And we got about 200 yards from getting back on the highway and just going home because we were like, oh, well, the elk aren't here. We might as well just go home. And I said stop because I thought it was a cow, but I was just like, well, I better stop and check. And it was a calf. I could just see the ears and it was probably about 300 yards away. Mm-hmm. And so then we got the spotting scope out and we could actually see there's a bunch of elk in there and there's a nice bull. Well, it just wasn't what we were looking for. And, but we decided we'd go up there anyways and see if there was any other bulls in the area. And, we got up there and got in the middle of the herd and we were calling a bunch of different bulls over, but they weren't vocal. Still weren't bugling at all. And the cows were kind of just playing with us too, going along with the calling. We were just cow calling pretty much. And I had never been much of a bugle guy. I haven't bugled much. Just mm-hmm. like spot and stalk elk hunting and just getting in the herd and being as quiet as I can and that's how I've always hunted. So that's what we were doing. And we finally caught a bold of bugle way off in the distance, but it was just like a super faint bugle. And we're still probably 60, 70 yards from them. There was 9 cows and 2 different bulls. And we decided to get back in the trees and circle our way over to that bugle. And once we got over there, it was a wallow, and we could hear him splashing down there, and he was just doing that faint bugle back when we were cow calling. And then Levi had seen just the bottom of his legs going through the trees going away. So we were like, well, we better boogie on over there as fast as we can. And then we got over there, and it was, we had seen a bull up on this higher ridge, and it was the bull that we had already called in, and he was a smaller 6. And we sat there, and we're in the wide open, no trees covering us, just grass and just in plain sight.
Right.
And I was like, well, let's just freaking pack it up and head out. And he's like, well, give me your bugle tube. And we hadn't tried bugling yet. And I was like, okay. So he took my bugle tube, rips off a bugle. And before he even cut off his own bugle, this bull answered us. The bull ended up shooting at like probably 60 yards and just ripping. And we, like, it all happened in a matter of 25 seconds, I think it was. But yeah, he
that's funny
how he bugled down. The bull answered to 60 yards away and then came out. But I mean, he probably came out after he bugled within like 3 seconds, and like I said, we were in the plane like wide open. And I don't know, he looked right at us, and the other bull bugled, and then he looked up at that other bull and started walking sideways, and it was 35 yards at that point. Drew back when he started walking and shot him there. But yeah, it was crazy how that all happened. And we were literally just about to head home. We were gonna say screw it and head back to the truck, and he was like, let me bugle one more time. Let me bugle once and see if that does anything. And that bull answered not 60 yards away.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was wild. He had a feeling that it was a different elk, a different bull than the one that we were looking at up there, but I was like, no way, that's the same bull, man. But I don't know, he just had a weird feeling, and he bugled, and it worked out. But like, I guess just like my learning experience from that was just getting inside that bull's bubble. And you hear guys talk about that, like Corey Jacobson and stuff. That's what he likes to do. And
yep,
that was the first time I've ever experienced that, like just getting inside that bull's bubble and just getting him pissed off enough to where he was like, yeah, screw that, I'm coming out and seeing where that bull's at.
Throw caution to the wind. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is that. This and every one of them is different. You know, people try to put a yardage on it, but I don't think yardage. I mean, it's a good rule of thumb, but I mean, some bulls it's 100 yards, some bulls it's, you know, under 50. You know.
But yeah. Exactly.
It's weird.
Yeah. We had no idea how close we were to that elk. Like I said, I thought it was a different one, but I mean, it was just, we were just right there enough. And we had cow called before that.
Oh, yeah.
That's when another bull bugled.
So he thought there were some cows were over there, and a bull
another bull came in.
Yeah, another bull came in to check him out, and he wouldn't have that.
Ripped it, the bugle he let out, Levi, though, was like the loudest and nastiest bugle he could have possibly let out.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just deep and long and freaking, I don't know, just pissed him off, right? And he answered immediately. But yeah, that was definitely a good learning lesson, because I mean, I never had bugled, I never experienced that, and we just got in his bubble, and yeah, it worked out perfect.
That's awesome. So what else you got for me?
What else? I'm trying to think of another one. Like a good one. A good guiding one this year, I guess, would be I had a guy from Georgia. It was the last hunt of the season. It was the biggest deer we got too. I don't know if that super wide one on my Instagram, I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I did not.
It was the last year we killed. It was like the last week in November. The mule deer rut was really good this year in Eastern Montana guiding. It was a fun season. But we had this guy from Georgia, and he had never killed mule deer. He'd never seen a mule deer. And it was super muddy. It was that gumbo stuff. And
that stuff that sticks to your boots. And you
you're
walking on mud platforms for a little.
Seriously, you're 6 foot tall, and then you end up being 6'6".
Yep.
But I spotted this deer from like 3 miles away, and I told the guy, I was like, "Well, we can't get any closer with a vehicle, so we got to go from here." And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, but he's like, "Let's do it." He was all about it, and I knew how big the deer was. I knew it was a giant, but I obviously try to keep the hunters as calm as I can, and we got finally all the way over there, and this deer, there ended up being three big deer. There's probably two 170 class deer and then the deer that he shot. And when we got over there, I told him we needed to get up this last ridge and we were going to lay down up there and he was going to shoot him. When we got up there, he was actually fighting another buck for like a minute. And I just told the guy, or I had John get down and got him ready. And I said, as soon as they stopped fighting, so I'll let you know when to shoot if he stops and gives you the opportunity. And they're fighting and it's going on. And I look back in John's video and with his phone, and I was like, dude, you got to get down and get ready, you know? Get on the gun and get ready. And I'm sure guys listening to this are... Yeah, I'm sure you've had experiences like that, maybe.
Oh yeah, I wish I could share with you the story that I heard from one of my guides this morning, but I can't.
Oh gosh,
not on air anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But this one's just funny. I don't know. I was just already upset because I was just like, it was the last day of his hunt. Just grinded. We grinded for 4 days straight. And I knew how big this deer was, and he didn't. So then he's messing around on his phone and he gets down and the deer runs. And I was like, all right, well, we got to get over there. And he was already dying because it was so slick out and he had already fell. He's covered in mud everywhere.
Oh, geez.
So we have to go down these big canyons to get over there. And when we got over there, we walked the whole ridge and I didn't see him. And we walk all the way back on this spine. And on the complete other side is where he was. He was with eight does. And ended up getting back on him there, got into position, bringing perfect stock, had to army crawl for like 10 yards to get a shot. And he gets him in the scope and can't see him. And then one of the does picks us up and they haul butt again. So then I was like, what the heck? Like, we're never going to see him again, you know? John was like, well, what do you mean we're never going to see him again? And I said, well, usually you only get a couple opportunities at a deer like that. If you're lucky, maybe one.
Right.
And he just didn't understand. So then I was like, well, we'll just go eat lunch and maybe we can come back out here or we'll go to a different part of the ranch to try to find another deer. And that's what we did. We went and ate lunch. And then the whole time he's like, well, I just want to go back and hunt that same spot. I don't care. Because I was going to tell him we were going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't really care. I just want to go back to that one spot and see if maybe we get lucky and find that deer. So like, all right. So we get back out there and get right to where we probably hiked a mile to the right of where I last seen him. And the first ridge we pop over, he's laying right there, just right in the skyline with his one doe.
Oh, Jesus.
And I don't know, it's just like the same deal. I told him we need to cross these three canyons. And they're big canyons, they're steep and nasty. And he's like, all right, let's do it. And get down the first two. And then I was like, all right, we got one more. And he's like, I don't know if I can do it. And I was like, no, you need to
suck it up.
Yeah, seriously. He was still laying there too the whole time. It took us probably 45 minutes. And he was just like pretty much trying to talk me into that he can't do it. And I was like, no, John, like you have to figure a way out how to get up this last hill. And he's like, all right, well, you just get up there and keep your eyes on. And I was like, perfect. And I'll take my time. And I was like, all right, that works. So I get up there and it takes me about 10 seconds to get up there. And I look back and John's just like crawling on his hands and knees up this hill. And I was like, oh my gosh, This is not good. And the deer is finally, he's up now and he's pushing that doe. And I was like, there's no way he's going to get up here in time. But for some reason, it was just meant to be. He just stayed on that ridge. And John got up there like 10 minutes later and he got down and made a good shot on it. But he was dead by the time he got up that hill and just guiding. It's just a typical guide story, but yeah. I don't know, Charles.
I got a very, very similar story to that. And with my father-in-law, he draws this coos deer tag here. And man, I spot up a giant, like 115-inch buck. And he's way the hell up on this ridge. But there's a lower ridge below it that I know that if we get to, we're going to have like a 600-700 yard shot. And we can actually get there and, you know, my rifle will do it. And my father-in-law is a great shot. But I was like, I don't know if he's going to stay there long enough. Who knows?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But so we start heading over there. I'll kind of shorten this up. But we start heading over there and about, I don't know, a third of the way there, I keep looking back. And every time I look back, he's getting further and further behind me. Mm-hmm. So I stop and I wait for him. And I'm like, are you going to be okay? And he wasn't looking so great. I was a little worried, actually, because he had already had a few heart attacks at this point in his life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, give me your pack. Give me the gun. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to get eyes on him, get everything set up, lay the gun down, get everything ready to go. And you just get up there, you know, when you could get up there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I get over there, relocate the deer. Binos are on him. Got the gun set up on rests. Everything's ready to go. And every few minutes, I'm walking back over to the edge and looking down the ridge to see where my father-in-law is. And, you know, he's just taking forever. Now he's got like, he's like walking up the ridge without his shirt on right now. He's like, so I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on here. So I'll go back over, look at the deer, go back to him, keep going back. And this is like an hour goes by now at this point. The deer was just feeding right there for that long. And I was like, this is crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at this point, he's like 50 yards from the top. So I run down to him, like kind of grab him by the hand. And I'm like pulling him up the hill. And
oh, yeah. I had to do that with John. Oh, yeah.
I get him over to the gun. I look in the binos. The deer's there. And then, you know, I get him laid down. I'm like, you see the da-da-da-da-da. Go back to the binos. And the deer's not there anymore. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I cannot find this deer anywhere. I'm looking everywhere, I'm like, no way. No way that this just happened. Where the hell did this deer go? Mm-hmm. I know he don't see us because we're freaking, 700 yards from him.
Yeah.
He must have, in hindsight, he must have just laid down in these like thick yuccas right there. And I just never saw him lay down and never picked him back up if we would have sat there. Anyway, after that hike, my father-in-law wasn't feeling great. I thought he was going to have another heart attack. And he was getting all gray in the face. And I was like, oh, shit, this is not going to be good. So I just abandoned the idea of finding that deer again and, brought him back to the truck, nice and slow. And we drove home that night because I was just worried, we were out in the middle of nowhere and whatever. But I've been there before a few times in that same absolutely situation. Yeah. That particular thing, my end result was not coming home with a big giant mule deer buck with stickers.
Dang, that's actually awesome. That's what I was thinking the whole time with John. That was the first like guiding experience I had where I was like super concerned, just because I was like, I'm pushing this guy really hard, and something might happen, and then that would be my fault, and then we're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing I would have been able to do. And that was a good learning lesson for me too, because I came to the realization after we had chased him the second time, I was just like, it's going to happen or it isn't going to happen. And I mean, we were plumb getting after this year. I'm like going 9-0 up and down these hills. And it was tough. It was tough on me even. So, and right. I mean, John, he was 66, I think 67 he is. And he was trying to keep up as good as he could. And bless his heart, he did. He did a good job. I was proud of him, but it all ended up working out. I've never seen somebody so excited to freaking get his hands on a deer. So that was super rewarding.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. The shitty part about that whole situation is that if you didn't get him, he might have like hated you after that for pushing him so hard. It's always like a happy balance of how hard do you get somebody to go.
He finally came to realization after I showed him. I don't know, I seen you went like that picture on Instagram. Yep. Where I took that picture when he was bedded down on the skyline, we were sitting there about 500 yards, and that was the first time he actually got to see the deer.
Oh, okay.
And that was after we came back from lunch, and after he seen him, actually, he was like, okay, like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get that deer. But yeah, that was a good learning lesson for me, guiding, just knowing your limits and knowing your hunter's limits and not pushing them.
Yeah, or knowing how far to push them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Probably the most asked story I get about is when we were in New Mexico last year hunting when Levi stabbed himself in the calf. That was a major, major learning lesson. So I've probably gotten asked that question by everybody, but yeah, we were in New Mexico and we were with our guides, Joe and Gary, and Levi, or Justin, Hannah had shot his bull and we were taking care of it. And literally right before that, we were going over to where they quartered the elk out and got them out and field dressed them. And Joe said, there's one thing that we don't allow, like with our outfit, is the clients like help out with dressing the animals and taking care of them. Levi was like, well, screw that. Like, let us help. And he's like, okay, since you're Levi, like, we'll let you help.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah. So, and then he literally said, like, when we parked the truck, got the elk out, and we're taking care of it. We're just about to start taking care of it. And I'm sitting in the truck editing pictures and looking at the video. And Joe said, there's only one thing in this truck besides the bow that will kill us right now, and it's your own knife. And we all just kind of laughed, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't 2 minutes later. I'm sitting in the truck, freaking editing the pictures, and they fly open the doors and just start throwing everything out. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, Levi just stabbed himself. And I was like, what the heck?
Oh my God.
And I was like, it's that bad? And they're like, yeah, it's that bad. There's, I get out of the truck, and I got already a tourniquet on his leg and just blood going everywhere. And they're trying to figure out how to get him laid down in the truck and get him out of there as fast as we can. Because I think we were probably 30 miles from the closest town out in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
He was going down that back quarter. And I don't know, he just put on a brand new Outdoor Edge blade. It was sharp enough. It just went right through the hide. And it was the way he was kind of sitting too. Just went straight into the back of his calf and went all the way to the bone. Pretty much the only thing that probably saved him was the bone, they said, because the knife hit the bone and deflected it. But yeah, that was a crazy, crazy experience.
Not cool at all. Shit.
No, it was bad. Yeah, it was crazy. I ended up staying, and Justin Hanna, who shoots for Matthews. Do you know Justin?
I don't know him personally, but I do know him,
He shoots for Matthews, and he's like, blood like gets him all weary. And he was just talking about that earlier in the day too, and when they asked, they were like, does Cage or Justin want to go to town and pretty much hold the tourniquet on his leg and to stop the bleeding? And I looked at Justin and he was like, well, I'll go. And I was like, okay, it was easy as that. And then once they took off, I was like, Justin doesn't do well with blood.
Yeah, he's screaming.
He yeah, he had to put his thumb on the hole like the whole way there. Yeah, it wasn't good. But holy, they ended up shit, making it to the, they made it, I guess. Joe, he was driving like 80 on that dirt road and ended up getting on the highway, and then ambulance met him.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's how they brought him in and took care of him. But yeah, he could have easily been a disaster.
Yeah. Jesus. That sucks.
Yeah, that's a wild story. That was a good experience too. Just like, what the heck? Like, always being cautious. And it was just funny how everything that was said that day leading up to that, and then it ended up happening. And,
yeah, right? They were just talking, and he was like, yeah, screw that, I'm going to do it.
Literally, it wasn't 2 minutes before that saying that the knife will kill you out here. Because, yeah, or snakes or rattlesnakes.
Yep.
But, it happened, and that was the first time I've been around something like that. And obviously, like, they make you go through first aid course and stuff to be a guide. And
yeah,
that was the first time that I had to really apply it and, like, got to experience it.
Yeah, that's nuts. I took a broadhead to the thigh once.
Oh, man.
I was hunting with my cousin, and is when those Montec G5s first came out. And we were stalking, and he had one knocked in, and you know, he had the arrow like, or the bow facing down, like, but kind of back, and I was behind him, and I was looking to my right, and he stopped, and I walked right into it, and like, yeah, it was bleeding like a freaking SOB.
Yeah,
but
God, I can't imagine how that feel.
Oh, it was, it sucked, man. It sucked. It was really like a stinging, pain. Like really, I don't know. It was. Yeah. It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. Yeah. And like, you know, it was right on the muscle that I had to use to get myself back to, you know, civilization too. And we weren't far off, thank God. You know, we were hunting a metro unit here.
And, yeah.
You know, I got back to the truck like in 15, 20 minutes hiking, but then I had, you know, maybe 20 minute drive.
Jeez.
Yeah, to get help. But that's pretty shitty.
It sounds like it, man.
You hear it all the time. I like, you know, that's a very real accident with the knives. Like, I know a couple years ago, or more than a couple years ago now, they found some guy dead over a giant bull elk. He must have been gutting, you know, or not gutting it, but dressing it, and he cut himself in the femoral artery, and he died right there, right on top of that elk.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's like my mom's biggest fear. Like when I go hunting by myself, she gets so worried about that. But
yeah,
gosh, yeah, it can happen. I mean,
well, I think about all the times I cut my fingers when I'm freaking shit. I did it
exactly.
This year.
Exactly, I can't even tell you how many times I've cut my finger. And like, it's been a couple times where it was bad, and I was like, oh, I don't want to look, but yeah. I have to.
Yep, I got myself really good this year. Really good on my wife's elk. I was trying to, I was trying to show her how to do something, and I was talking to her, or not show her, but I was like trying to explain to her what she was doing, and I was still doing what I was doing. I should have just stopped and, you know, not lost focus. And yeah, man, I'm freaking right down to the bone on my thumb from like,
from where
it bends all the way up to the, and it like even put a little cut in my nail, like through the other side. Like, geez. Yeah. So that was fun. I had a, we were back a ways, and yeah, it was interesting. So, I just taped it up real good and threw some rubber gloves on it and finished that elk up, and we went our ways. But you know, you think about how much worse that could be if you did something like,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, slip and cut a artery in your armpit or something, or your leg or whatever. Yeah. I'm very, my fingers get nicked quite a bit cause I'm a little, I try to go a little too fast sometimes, but I think I'm pretty good about keeping my, you know, cutting away from the body and doing that stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Super cautious. So, I've learned that.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you can never be too cautious.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, man.
What, were you hunting in Arizona?
Yeah. Recently? Yeah.
How'd that go?
So my wife had the late season rifle tag and she tagged out. I had a client in, during the archery season. And, you know, it was real rough, like you said, like not really strong, but we were on a good bull for like 3-4 days in a row. And we could not get this bull to do what we wanted it to do. He just did not like what I was throwing at him. And the last day we had an opportunity, like the most solid opportunity we had at him. And, the guy I was hunting with ended up shooting one of the raghorn bulls out of the herd. And, I think we would have made it happen on this bull. He was probably like 360. He was a great bull. I mean, when he shot the raghorn, he was only 60 yards further behind. There was a good chance that we would have, but you know, hey, bird in the hand, it was his first elk and he was super happy. So
heck yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't get to hunt elk for myself this year, though, but it was...
You didn't get to hunt elk for yourself this year?
No.
Oh, gosh.
But
I can't imagine.
I plan to do at least 2 elk hunts for myself this year, the 21.
Right on. There you go.
Yeah. But
yeah.
All right, man. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing our stories with us. It's always always interesting to hear. I feel like guides always have the best stories.
Yeah, there's so many I wish I could tell too. I mean, every hunt is a new story, and being a guide, I don't know, it's fun.
Jason Massinger, Matt Zinger came on, and he told me a story about when him guiding one time in, I think it was Montana, for elk, and the guy he was guiding died.
He died on the hunt?
Died on the hunt. Just.
Oh my gosh.
And,
see, I would.
Yeah. I was crazy.
I wouldn't even know what to do. Gosh,
crazy, dang. Crazy situation for him because he was hunting with his whole family, like his grandson and his son and whatever, and it was not a good thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've heard some crazy stories, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard anybody dying on a hunt.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I've seen it and heard it all with guys getting shot and just dumb shit too, but anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right, man. Well, I'm going to let you go and get back to your day. Thanks for coming on. And we'll keep in touch. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Be in touch. Yep. Take care.
All right, bye. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out daysinthewild.com and be sure to give us a review on iTunes. Thank you, and we'll check you out on the next episode.